Well, I would appreciate your prayers. I'd like to look at the 65th Psalm. Just pray that the Lord would help me to do this psalm a little bit of justice, because it's really a beautiful psalm, and it's very inspired. 65th Psalm. Think about the first five verses being a praise to God, and the rest of the chapter is kind of an expression of God's benefits to his creation. And it reminded me, as I looked into it, it reminded me of the people in my life that was able to see God. Brother Jim would, I remember one testimony he had about canned green beans. He got a beautiful testimony out of canned green beans, or a box of cereal, or Brother Leslie Busby had a gift for being able to see God in pecans. He saw him in honeybees. He saw it in fruit, nature. He saw God in the sky. He saw him in the land. He just seemed like he just had a way of being able to see God in everything. I believe that one of the secrets to our success and happiness in this life serving God is to be able to see God where he's at, and be able to experience God's workings and dealings. And that's kind of the way this psalm, I got out of this psalm. And if I could do this justice today by the Spirit of the Lord, everybody would be inspired. I'm not saying that's going to happen. Lord, help me. But this is a very inspirational psalm. So I'm going to read the whole psalm. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall thou vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for all our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes reproach unto thee, an approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation. Who art thou confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off unto the sea, which by the strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of the waves, and of the turmoil of people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid of thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and the evening rejoice. Thou visited the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrich it with the river of God, which is the full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy path drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. I want to really pick up, there's a lot in the first five verses to consider the goodness of God. And I'd like to really pick up with the sixth verse of this. It says, which by his strength settled fast the mountains, being girded with power. You know, we look at things in a way of mainly of human understanding of things. I think that we are so influenced by the age that we live in of science and of things that they didn't deal with like this, and there'll be a scientific explanation of how mountains formed and how they got here. And if we're not careful, we only think of life as the way it is revealed in a secular mind, a secular idea. But David didn't do that when he wrote this psalm. When he was writing of the Psalms and he looked at the mountains and that, and no doubt wondered, like many inquisitive minds will, wonder how did the mountains formable, big, huge mountains, how do you deal with those guys? And the mountains, how did they get there? He solidly put it on God put them there. God put the mountains there. And not only did God put the mountains there, lifted them up, formed them in the way they are, maybe even he had in his mind literally of God. We have what they call myths or legends of, you know, Paul Bunyan dragging his axe along, made the Erie Canal. I mean, there was all kind of things, and the Great Lakes was made by him. And, you know, I mean, I had all these different legends. It's fun for children to do and think of, but David was actually thinking about God Almighty and God lifting a mountain. And not only does he state here that God put the mountain there, but the statement is that the mountain is fixed by the power of God. Not only did it there, but the reason it has been ageless, the reason the mountain is still there. He made Mount Everest and it's still there, and it'll always be there because God nailed it down. He fixed it. And it's by the power of God. I don't know if you think in these terms, but the psalmist, in his attempt to glorify and put God in his right place, looked at nature, looked at the things around us. Lord, help us to have a mind like that for God. This is our life. This is what we think about. This is it. God did these things because it means something. Where we had in Sunday school today that one decision leads to another, I want to tell you one thought will lead to another. When we firmly fix in our hearts and minds that God created the earth and everything that was in it, and God lifted up the mountains and they stay there because he said they will, it'll mean a lot to me when I run into trouble in my life. When I run into things in my life that I'll call a mountain, I'll say, who's able to move the mountain that's got it nailed down? God's the only one that can deal with this thing. It'll mean a lot to make a decision about these things. Every bit of this can be applied, I believe, into our individual lives, spiritual lives. There is a direct correlation between the physical life that we live and the spiritual life that we live. The mountains can be represented, the mountains in our life. The giants that we face can be represented as the spiritual giants that's in our lives. All of this has a reference. The psalmist had a real mind of everything being God. And he's expressing it this way. And this psalm is such a beautiful thought of David's mind toward God. Lord, help us to have a mind towards God. He strengthened and settled fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of the waves, and the turmoil of people. The writer here is looking at the ebbs and the flows of the ocean. He's thinking about the storms that lift up, and you know, we hear about a hurricane coming in, and the tide. Well, they say that there's going to be a certain sea level and moving in, and all of those things. The writer here is looking at those things and says, "How does it happen? How does the sea come in, then reverse itself?" Comes in, rises up in the storm, goes out in that. He says, God. God is the one that's doing
that. And I know that God is able. Jesus performed this when he was here. Remember the story of him in the boat? The sea was rough and with waves and it was tumultuous and everything was going on. And Jesus simply said to the waves, to the sea, "Peace be still." And it laid down into a perfect calm. The sea laid down because Jesus told it to. He told it to lift up. He tells it to lay down. The psalmist, so many years before that, gets a hold of the idea that if God can control the ebbs and flows of the sea, he can calm the seas of humanity. God can calm the seas of humanity. Yeah, there's a war. God is the answer. God is the answer to these. He can change the turmoil. If God can change the turmoil of nations, he can change the sea that rages in my own life. What a beautiful idea. This Almighty God, I have to label these things as being in control. God's in control of this. If he's not in control of it, who is? And if he's not in control of that, am I? Is my life thrown out on the ebbs and flows of circumstances and chance? Is that all that my life is? Is that if I'm lucky or if I'm fortunate enough, I won't be run over by a car when I leave here? If I step out of the way of the limb, if I move just enough to keep my head from getting, is the limb not going to kill me? Am I tossed? No. God is the God of the waves and the seas. There has to be more about it. If there's God, there has to be more than just the idea of we're thrown out on the chance of life somewhere. You know, it's important to believe. It really is important to believe. Because if God's not in control of these seas, he's not in control of my life either. He's got to be in control. The psalmist looks at this and what a beautiful idea. The God that made the universe, the God that made the sea to go in and out, is also the God that can change the turmoil of people. He can change the multitudes. He can change what's happening in life. He surely is our answer in these problems. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. I'm afraid of the tokens too. I say afraid. I'm not afraid of anything that God does, but you know, there is an awesome power. The tokens of God are illustrated in the lightnings and thunders. That's just the tokens that he speaks with, the things that he does in life. The hurricane is a token of God. The tornado, the earthquake, the things that God, those are tokens of God. You would think they're a big thing to us. They're a token to God. But it speaks of God. And there is a natural, we should have a fear of the things that God can do. We oughtn't fear God because God loves us in a sense that I'm scared or I run around like God's some kind of a horrible monster. He's not. He's a loving father. But I ought to have a respect and the fear of what God can do with his little finger. Because he guides the lightning strikes. I know we say the storm comes in and it's by this pressure, and when the two different pressures collide, they're going to cause the friction in the atmosphere causes lightning strikes. And I know you could go through the whole scientific idea about it, and you can lose the idea that that is controlled by the Almighty God. Doesn't bother me that it's scientifically accurate that he did it that way. I don't mind how God does it. God can do it any way that he wants to. It's just important that it's God that's doing it. And God's, because they're God's tokens. Are you thankful for God's tokens? I wouldn't be saved today if it wasn't for God's tokens. God's love has extended until he'll use the things that he can to put me back in line. He'll love me enough to call something to check my life when I'm going astray in my mind, when I'm going away, when my flesh is over, when my flesh is becoming a conflict with the Spirit. God knows how to send the tokens. God knows how to use what he's got on hand to check my life and to be able to bring me back into where I'm going to be. I thank God that he can control the seas. I thank God that he's got the tokens. I'm glad that God's willing. In my life, I could name and have many times, but I could name the times to where I felt like that I was becoming indifferent to the things of God. I didn't really have the passion and care. I was floating. I was drifting and starting to drift. I wasn't unsaved. I had lost out. None of those things. I just was starting to drift, and God did something that just absolutely got my attention. And it wasn't pretty, and it wasn't fun. But oh, was I thankful. Lord, I saw your loving hand put me back as a shepherd does the lamb. He works with us, puts us back into place. We should not despise the chastening of the Lord. We should embrace the chastening. Thank you, Lord, that you care enough for me to chastise me. I desire that. It says that thou makest the outgoings of the morning and the evening to rejoice. This is such a poetic, pretty idea of that. He's looking at the storms, and he's looking at nature, and he's looking at the sunrise and the sunset, the beginning and the end. He's looking at it and saying, God, you're bringing this. The morning was given to us by God. I remember one time Brother Lloyd, it was early in the morning. And he was up on the, you know, most people knew where he lived. Some of you don't, but he lived up there. He had a real good view of the eastern sky towards Virginia. And I think you could actually see Virginia from his house. And he was sitting there and he said, I'm watching the Lord make the morning. And that stuck with me. That's what the psalmist was saying. I'm watching God make me another day. God is the beginning of the day, and God's the ending of the day. The scripture says of Jesus, he was the author and finisher of our faith. God is making it rise and fall. God is in control of the days of our life. And you say, how's that important? It's important for me to believe that God makes the days, because if he doesn't, who does? And what does a day hold? The maker of the day knows what the day holds. The maker of the day can get me through that day. The maker of the day is the creation of this day. How am I supposed to be faithful in this day? This is the creator of the day. It says that Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and the evening to rejoice. It's like, I'm going to tell you it seems like the writer's vision started to be. It started to look at it like it's speaking back to the Creator. I see joy, the sun's rising, and I see joy. I see the sun rejoicing. I see the day rejoicing. This is a day that the Lord hath made. I see it speaking to God. This is the way he's looking at it. Everything in this is about God, and it's rejoicing to God. If that's true, the way the psalmist says it, how much more should his people rise up in the morning and rejoice to God? Thank you, God, for another day. The sun comes up and rejoices. He looked at it and said, glorious. You know what it feels like to get up on a warm, pleasant, everyone's felt this, to get up on a warm spring morning with the sun coming up where it's pleasant to step out. The sun's up. You feel the warmth after the winter. You feel the warmth of the sun hit you. You feel the encouragement of the day, the health of the day, the beauty of the day. This also speaks of the time that we're in. The daffodils are wanting to come out because the sun's rejoicing to them. The sun's welcoming. Come out in the mornings. Come and rejoice. This is the idea that the psalmist is trying to say. If the flowers want to rejoice to God and the sun wants to rejoice, the tree, as you step out, we ought to. We ought to step out and say, thank God for the morning. Lord, this is not by chance. This is your morning. Given to me in my lifetime, a morning. I was telling Linda, y'all don't mind some my personal thing was talking. Yesterday, I don't want to get too mushy here. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. We mentioned yesterday, it was a very pretty day. We went bike riding and we went out and Linda had said something to me about the day and I said, yeah, I know it's on my mind all the time. I'm going to soon be 60. I know there's people when you're older than me and another complaint. I thank God that I live this long, okay? But I want to tell you the feelings that run through me. I don't really want it to snow. But there's a part of me that knows that I don't have many left. And I almost don't want it to quit snowing this year yet because I don't know how many more snowy days I get to enjoy. Maybe y'all don't feel this way, but I see the limit now. And I think of the feeling of springtime. And it's beautiful. It's wonderful. The warm summer nights. The leaves starting to color and fall. The winter time setting by the fires and the all of those. I don't have many left. And I don't want to waste the ones I have. I want to make the best out of them. I want to see more of the beauty of it. We can get up like animals, if you want. I think animals do better, according to the way he was looking at it. But we get up, and I have this moment. It seems so fleeting. I measure my weeks by Sundays, to be honest with you. It's amazing how fast Sundays get here. I say, well, I got the work week ahead of me. It's Sunday. It's Saturday night again. It's Sunday. Okay, now it's Sunday night. It's Saturday night. Going quickly going. Oh, the idea that tomorrow's morning is going to welcome me and say, rejoice. Rejoice that there's a God in heaven. Rejoice for the creation. Rejoice for these things. God has set the mornings and the evenings to rejoice. And nature seems to do it. He wants people to do it. He wants us to rejoice. Thou visited the earth. This is very expressionable. Thou visitest the earth and what is in it. He looked at the barren land and the need for water. And when the clouds came in the waters, and you ever look across the mountains, we do it a lot. We drive along or you're looking and say, look, it's raining. You can see the rain coming. The psalmist's expression here is, here comes God. Look, the Lord's visiting. He's bringing rain with him. What an expression to say of thanksgiving. God is visiting us. All it just rained. No. God visited us. Because God's in control of all of these things. God's in control of the weather. I want to mention this again because lest we forget. But when we poured the cement out here, it was supposed to rain. Rain on that wet concrete isn't good. It was supposed to rain. Do you know it did rain? The weathermen had it right. It rained. It rained in Arborvale, and it rained in Dunmore. Cars coming from both directions was wet. while we did that. Now, I know we can say it happens all the time. You got spotty showers coming through. But Psalmist wasn't thinking in those terms. The psalmist was thinking about God's going to visit us and here comes the rain. God's in control of the rain when you need rain. God can bring rain into our lives. You know, rain's a good thing. We didn't want to run our concrete, but this is what I'm saying about that. Who's in control? That's what I want to know. Who's in control of it? Because there's sometimes we don't need to be rained on. Then sometimes we're desperate for rain. And God's coming and visiting. God's going to come and visit us. I don't believe that an honest soul will perish. God will water him. I don't know when. I don't know how. But an honest soul is going to get this visitation. God is going to visit in the right time and right place for your life. And if you feel like you're in a drought and you feel like you can't go on and you don't know what to do with the next trial and tribulation, keep yourself honest before God and He's going to visit. And when He comes, He's going to bring the refreshing of showers. He's going to bring the rain. And when the rain comes, it's going to be like expressed here. They make rivers. If it quit raining, eventually the rivers would dry up. No, the rivers you enjoy is God's visitation. And the great river of God is boundless. This is what the scripture is saying. There is a great river of God, and it is all the water, all the blessings, everything that you need. I don't even know what water is spiritually talking most of it. I don't know what I need sometimes. I just know I need something, and God knows how, and He will visit, and He'll come and visit us in the times of needs. I am so glad that God is faithful to the honest soul. I believe that. I had a little conversation with Sister Brenda. When I first met her and got to dealing with and talking with her and stuff, I was very touched by a 23-year-old woman that so sacrificed herself. That her life would be so much better in the flesh if she didn't drag around 14 children, if she didn't try to feed them every day and clothe them and take care of them and wash their clothes and do all that. And I saw the labor and the effort and all that she was doing. And I said, God help her. No, I said, I know you're going to help her. I know you're going to honor that. And I told her, I said, I had a vision, probably partly from all the literature that I've read of the saints and the stories about how God had worked with people and set them to places where they were honored. I told her, one day, you're going to be honored. At the time, she had zero friends, no family, nobody but those children looked at her as anything. And I said, one day God's going to honor you. You will be lifted up. She told me after this last, she paid the last on her debt, and she told me, she said, you saw that. I said, I saw that. Yes, I saw that. She said, it's happening. People are honoring me. Oh, you follow the Lord. You follow the Lord and He's going to rain on you. You follow the Lord and He's going to bring you out. You can start in the street. You can start as low as you can. But when you humble yourself, God's going to lift you up. And that was and the honor that was coming is from the blessings of God. Lord, help us to serve God with an honest heart. Thou visited the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God. Wow, the river of God. What a vision he had, which is full of water. You can't run out. Thou preparest them corn. Then what he's saying is that once it rains, look at everybody. It's as obvious as looking. What happens when it rains? Do you know that I can see sometimes overnight, and I'm sure people, you'll agree with me, I can see overnight sometimes when it gets dry around here, and the grass starts getting brown, and you get a certain look about it, it can start raining in the evening. By the next morning, I'll get up and see the difference of the hungry grass and flowers, and the things that want the water, and you'll see a luscious view. You'll see things start immediately happening. The writer looks at this and says, there's a river of God that never runs out, and when it rains, then the corn comes up, and things start happening. There's an obvious something happening. I can see the difference in here. He gives credit to God for everything. Everything. You think about it. He's talking about how you go and plow up the ground and try to get it to ready. And he talks about how the rain comes and softens it in, and how at the time the ground can't even get ready without God. God gets the ground ready. Men may labor. Men may plow. Men may put stuff in lines. Men may fertilize. Men may do all the things that men can do, but they cannot grow anything. According to the psalmist, you've got to do all those things for sure, but you can't do anything. Your thanksgiving should be to God. If you got the vision that he was having, he was looking and seeing the influence of God. The influence of God in everything. Do you know there is the same influence of God in your day? He's talking about not just to the followers of God. He's talking about to humanity. This is something God don't withhold the rain to the unjust. This is the gift of God to all people. The same water that softens the ground, that sprouts the corn, that does that, happens for everybody. God is in all of this. We can do all that we want to do. But the point of it is, I can so much desire things and can't make any of them happen without God. It's God that gives the increase. It's God that germinates. It's God that sprouts. It's God that made. In all of these things, it is God. He says that he waters. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof, and makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Again, he looked at it and said, that's God. I may go talk to somebody about the Lord and see a response to them and say, thank God for it. That springing was of God. God can talk to hearts when you never can talk. We got to remember this. God, go before us. Go before us. Go to the places that we can't. Lord, we're willing servants, but go before us. That person that needs to be talking, go soften their heart, reign in their life, help them. Our greatest weapon's prayer. Our greatest weapon's getting a hold of God that can change these people's lives. We're here as vessels for God to use, but God's the one that does all of these things. Surely in all of these things, God is the one that works in all of them. Thou crownest the year with goodness and the passive crown. Again, he's talking about go through the time, and what do you have at the end of it? You have prosperity. You can plant a big patch of corn, but what good is it? What good is it if there's not a harvest at the end of it? What happens at the end is what's important. It's what the crop is. Lord, I can go through. I can see your tokens in my life. But if I don't bear fruit at the end of it, I've wasted it. It's at the end of the year. It's at the end of the harvest. We want to have a full harvest. The Lord brings all of these things naturally to pass. And it's God that brings them spiritually to pass. He's the one that gives us the blessings of our lives. Lord, help me to take the token. You can take all the tokens and be resistant and disobedient and do all that. At the end of it, you're a grumpy old man. I've always said I don't want to end up in my life being a grumpy old man that nobody likes. Well, maybe at least somebody will like me if I'm not that way. But you can't. I don't want to just be the one that's a grumpy old, just don't get along with nobody, just sour and all this stuff. I have the disposition, folks. I don't want to be that way. I want the Lord to help me. I want the river of God to rain on me. I don't want to end up being that way. I don't. You know, God helps me. I'm going to tell you, God really helps me. I have inclinations sometimes, and God really, really helps me against those inclinations. I thank God for it. He makes the sun comes up in the morning. I can rejoice because I can be what I need to be today. I can have the glory and the Son of God on me. I enjoyed, went with the family just riding bicycles, a little simple thing yesterday, but it was the glory of God to me. It was sunny. The Lord blessed us, and that is a gift. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. This is a very expressive vision. He's seeing, if you can imagine this, he's looking and seeing the showers fall, and he's seeing, I'll say in mama, he's seeing the grass growing, he's seeing the wildflowers. In my mind, there's a couple little butterflies that's rejoicing. And there's little lambs that's just getting to their feet for the first time. And there's cattle that's eating the lush grass. And the sun is shining on that. And maybe there's a little breeze, and the psalmist is saying, the hills are rejoicing. The hills are happy. God is in every... God made the butterfly that landed on that buttercup. The lambs up there are made of God. This peaceful tranquility that he's expressing of the little hills. And why did he say the little hills? Thank God that he said the little hills, because we're nothing. God cares for the little things. God cares for those that feel like they're insignificant and not amount to anything. God cares for all of that. He makes the small things rejoice. He makes everything beautiful if you can see it beautiful. God is beautiful. And he shows everything is beautiful. And he says in the hills, these hills are happy. They're happy. Look, they're happy. They're rejoicing. All the plants and everything. The doings of God. The hills rejoice on every side. How can a hill? The hill is just a natural. How could you say such a thing? In my naturalistic views, mountains and hills don't do anything, and they don't say anything. The sun don't say anything or do anything. When a God created them to do something, they speak. They speak to somebody that listens. They speak of a creative hand. They'll speak. God will use them to speak to our hearts. God can speak peace to us. If God can change the wilderness, streams in the desert. If God can change the wilderness, he rains on the wilderness. He causes it to drop on the wilderness. He causes prosperity to drop on the wilderness. In the scripture, the wilderness was always considered a dry and barren place. And what the lesson is, get the vision. A dry, barren wilderness. And God opens the rivers of God to them. And now, instead of them being dry and barren and useless for life, now they're teeming with life and beauty and the things in it. He speaks of the human soul, of barren and dry and dead, and it needs rained on. It needs It needs life to it, to bring it back to what it was created to be. It's like streams in the desert. It's life-giving waters that gives that. And his vision of looking at this was so poetic, so beautiful. Flowers, all of these wonderful things that should be in our life. Listen, you are lacking if you don't have the peace of God in your life. You were created for God's peace. You were created, if you got strife and heartache, you were created to have love in your heart. You were created for those butterflies and those flowers and the vision that he has. You were created. I was created for that. I wasn't created for hardship and hurt and ugliness and evil and pain. I wasn't created for that. Those are the bad things. God can reign on. He can reign on those barren lives. To our family members and to those that are lost and those that are around us, our hope is always, Lord, reign. Your reign in their life. Lord, deal with them ahead of time. The little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. Well, I don't know. Is it? I don't know which exactly. I think it's the valleys. The valleys are, and the corn, I suppose. They shout for joy. And they sing. Now, here's the trick, if I can say it that way. Do you hear the singing? Can you look at the valley and hear the rejoicing? Can you walk down the Greenbrier? I go fishing down, so I talk sometimes up down there where there's nobody out. Can you watch the water flowing down through there and hear it singing to God? Can you look at the mountains or the storms coming and can you hear it? Can you get the blessing that's in it? Ironically, one of the most famous days in our history now, 9-1-1. I'll never forget what I was doing probably on that day, because it was a absolutely beautiful, nearly perfect fall day. And I was down the Greenbrier River. I don't remember catching any fish, but I remember I was down there on the river and some of the early falling leaves was already falling into the water and going, and the water was crystal clear. The sun was shining through the water, and I was going down through there thinking, what a wonderful day God has made. God is trying. I thought it was so ironic in the middle of hearing the beauty of God that such a tragedy happens. The conflict of that. I want to tell you what the answer to all the problem is. The answer to the problems is God for our life. Lord, help us to have a mind that we can see God in everything and not be, I want to, maybe y'all aren't as inquisitive as I am, but I want to say, don't be taken in by the modern world and explanations of everything. The human reason, the human thinking, the ideas of everything. If you can't handle it, stay away from it. There's a lot of things that you can say about how God done something, and it's not wrong to look for how God done it. But the people that are doing it ain't looking for how God done it. They're trying to disprove that he did it. And they're going to influence into everything in your life. And the psalmist simply wrote and sat with the experience he had in God and saw God in everything that he done. Up flies a little, up jumps a little grasshopper, and somehow God's in that too. He's in everything. And so, Lord, help us to open our minds and hearts, be able to see God, be able to follow him the way he'd want us to. Praise God in our hearts. You pray for me.